Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 95 of Season 7 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week is Dave Palace of 5 Minutes of Mystery. Welcome back to finish off this week, Dave.
Rob, if we don't start recording soon, I'm going to pee in my pants.
You know, that's your problem. I can't help with that one. Yeah. All right, so minute 95 begins with John questioning Zeus and ends with a truck along with John and Zeus starting to freefall. So we had things yesterday with John finally catching the cable onto the crane, and they were quite ecstatic. And then this minute begins with Zeus basically pushing John out of the way. And he goes, hey, where are you going? What, are you in a hurry? And he goes, I'm going first this time. All right. And, I mean, it's interesting the way that they do that here because, you know, Zeus is finally showing that, you know, he has a stake here. He's the one who needs, you know, because he now knows that the bomb is in his nephew's school. So he's going to do whatever he needs to do.
Yeah, because he feels like if he doesn't get this code, he's like, I can't live with myself. If I, like, you know, the last thing I told, you know, I told my nephews is like some racist shit about, like, don't trust white people flat out. Now it's like he's been trusting John. He's like, yeah, John's, but I trust him to, like, get this thing done. And he's like, you know, it really shows Zeus stepping up. He's definitely not a passenger along for the ride.
You know, then the shot changes and we see Cobb running out of the school. I guess he's trying to save himself, and you know he runs across to the police truck that's in front of him, and we hear someone say, "We have the intercom rig, sir." And you know he grabs the radio, and then we get a little pan of the area. Yeah. Now, did you see that the?
Well, it can't be a radio. It has to be. They must be on. Like a triple like phone call line. They must be on a triple cell phone because of that. They cannot be on a headset. So they must have a series of cell phone calls in between themselves. They have the line open. And I'm guessing the reason he's running outside is because of that, Walter gets the information from everyone inside and he has to relay it to the people outside. So it's like he's probably the only one running back and forth out of the building. He's like, everyone else, hold position, keep the kids calm. And he's probably with that headset and the cell phone going back and forth between what Lambert, what Connie are saying to him, and then what the bomb squad and everyone else outside is. And I know you talked about how, like, they have this position as best they can. But, yeah, it's impressive how the cops are very, like, they're doing a good job of just, like, they're being calm. Yeah. They know the stakes. No one's being it. I also, yeah, when you do that pan, I'm sorry, but I love the old and new Crown Vicks, like, next to each other. You got the 90s Crown Vicks and the 80s Crown Vicks. Like, they're just like, every cop car we could get, let's get it down here. Let's block it off this road, you know, get the fire trucks there, too. Like, it's, like, they're ready. Like, we got to put out a fire. We're going to have that ready. I'm sure, like, they got the lines to the fire extinguishers ready, or the fire hydrants.
Yeah. Now, the fact that the cop says that we have the intercom rigged means that this they jury rigged it. You know, it was something that it's something that they just did on the spot. You know, it wasn't something that they had planned in advance on how to do it. And they're like, okay, we can't use the regular CBs, so we're gonna do something else. You know, and then in this pan,
it's wired. It's not wired.
That's right. Yeah. And in the pan that we get, so besides seeing the police cars and the fire trucks that you mentioned, so first of all, we see a whole bunch of police standing in more or less in a row across the street. We'll see later, probably next week, what their job is. But it's nice that we get to see that they are standing there waiting to do something. And then we see a really large crowd in the background. Now, my assumption is that these are actually the parents of these kids that have come to get their kids.
Yeah. Whatever job they were at, they were like, I am leaving. Who gives a hoot about what I've got to do today? my kid is about to be a school bomb. Because that radio, when Simon called out that radio, that was like mass hysteria.
That's right.
Because now people know, oh my God, like the bomber is like bombing kids. Like even people who like didn't have any relation to that school. Now, as what you said, that one guy in the office was like, honey, you know, call my wife. It's just like everybody's like, call the wife, get the kids out. Like we got to like, you know, like I'm sure that same highway they were on when the Sawmill Road, I'm sure there are people just getting out of town. Like honey, we're just grab this stuff, get the kids. We'll go to your mom's house in Connecticut, you know?
Like, we'll go to Greenwich.
Let's get out. There is a freaking terrorist who's going to blow up the city. Like, let's just get out of the city.
That's right. Independence Day type of running.
Yeah.
Now, there's a big sign across the street that says Carniceria. Do you have any idea what that is?
No, Carniceria. I was gonna guess that was a grocery store or something. That was my best guess.
Well, that's what I thought also. I was assuming that it's like a chain of a grocery store or something like that. But it's Spanish for butcher shop.
Oh, okay. Huh. Oh, corn. Gosh darn it. That's so easy. Yeah, corn meat. Yeah, that's so funny. Carniceria. Yeah, it makes sense then.
Because it comes from carnage and things like that.
Yeah.
Carnivore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought it was very cool that you know, it's like a big sign. I really thought it was like an ANP and stuff like that, you know. I thought it was going to get like a lot of hits for it, and like I couldn't find what it was. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, it kept showing me all these things about butcher and butcher shops and stuff like that. And then it dawned on me that it's basically just the translation of butcher shop into Spanish. Now, I don't know what it means, why there's a thing afterwards that says Sea Town Town. That I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. The only thing I can I was thinking about is that payphone outside. I wonder if there's a cop on that payphone to make sure if they have to like call something in, they use that payphone that's on the street right there. I mean, it's like maybe not police or FBI bands. It's possible some of the cops are using civilian band or CB band stuff. Like there may be like maybe stuff that's like less encrypted, and so they can't give away too much information. But it's like, you know, they're using that line, you know, that's not a police band. It's on like civilian band.
Right.
Just maybe to get some other communication out. But I don't know. I like the idea of just like they're working with the telephones or intercoms, like where they can get like try to have it like not on any wireless radar band that like could trigger the bomb.
Correct.
And dangerous.
And then we get a shot of Cobb on a headphone. And, you know, we hear on the other side, it's Connie saying, Walter, the kids may be fine, but you wait much longer and I'm going to pee my pants. And he goes,
yeah, that's right.
We're going to wait, Connie. 6 more minutes.
I mean, I have to assume both Connie and Lambert, they probably both have kids. They're somewhere in the city, not this school, but they're probably also like, you know, like they kind of feel like edged where they're just like, I'm in a way like not say abandoning my kid, but I'm just like, I have to hope that either my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister can get the kids into safety. You know, and I gotta be here for my kids or for these kids, I should say. So I'm sure like that's another reason they're nervous. It's like, yeah, they're all probably parents and they're all thinking about this, like what kind of monster would like, you know, like if we F up, like all these parents are just, you know, their kids died in a bomb. It's crazy.
Correct. So basically what Cobb is telling us now is that it's 2:56. You know, we basically just have 6 minutes left till 2:54. Sorry. We have 6 minutes left till 2:54. Now, do you notice that when Cobb is standing there and we see he has his back to us and he's on his headphone, there's like a cop that's standing in front of him that is just he looks like a mannequin the way that he's just stopped there.
I like this guy's look. He's a good extra that just stands there, because him in his suit, you could think that he could be like maybe he's like the lieutenant of a certain squad.
I'm not talking about the guy in the suit. I'm talking about the guy in the blue.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That guy, yeah. That guy is, like, I don't know if he's a cop or an extra. Like, they got a cop to do it. But I feel like he is definitely, like, an extra that they put in a crisp police outfit, and he didn't know what to do with his arms.
That's right. So you're just standing there.
Because yeah, he's standing at attention. Like, you're right. And it's like, Walter is just, like, he's a captain, but this isn't the military, dude. Like, so all I have to assume is that, like, maybe the cell phone was that detective's cell phone he had out there, and he came out there and was like, yes, sir, okay, and he passes it to him.
Maybe.
So,
maybe.
But you're right, that it is so funny. He's, yeah, you're right, he's so, like, standstill. His eyes are, like, locked forward. Yeah.
And then they give us a pan to the other side of the street, and we see also a whole bunch of police cars blocking the street, and a whole van in there. You know, waiting for the order. Waiting to be told what to do. Then the shot changes, and we're back at the Tappan Zee Bridge. We see the crane, and we see the bridge. But we don't really see what's going on with the whole thing, which is very interesting, you know, that they give us a few minutes of trying to, you know, figure out what's going on. And then a few seconds. And then they zoom in, and we see John and Zeus basically traversing, you know, this cable. You know, so apparently they found two sets of gloves, not just one, which is pretty impressive. You know, we talked the other day about...
Well, I don't know. That cuts back, but it cuts to John. His hands, he's got hands on it. So I don't know if he has... I think Zeus has a pair of gloves, and John might just be bear handling this. Yeah. I think he's bear handling this, dude. Yeah, when they cut to, yeah, around 36 seconds, you can see John, both his palms are just, they're bare palms. He's really just manhandling it himself. Raw dog in that cable.
All right, you're right. You're definitely right about that. That he gave Zeus the gloves, and he's the only one himself, which is a big plot point for later. But yeah, you know, we'll have to get there in a few weeks. So we see the two of them, and then Zeus calls out and he goes, "Yo, McLean." He goes, "What down there?" Now, it's pretty funny because, you know, they're supposed to be trying to be quiet. You know, we talked yesterday about the fact that the cable might be banging against the crane and making noise. But if they're screaming to one another, that's also going to make a little bit of noise.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's I mean, it's funny. It's just one goon on a smoke break. That's it. It's the only, like, witness out there. No one else is, like, hears this entire commotion.
That's right. And he doesn't hear anything. You know, and then they let us in on the fact that that John hears the winch, which it goes to show that John's got amazing hearing, because, like, he looks up knowing that something's wrong with the winch. It's about it's about to go. And I mean, I gotta say, it's great editing the way that they do that for John just to look. And then they show the winch, and then it goes back to John, and then the winch and stuff like that. You know, and then basically it starts pulling the car at a certain point. You know, John realizes that now they're in for big trouble. Now they're in big trouble. And he realizes, and he screams, "Oh, shit, go, 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 man, go, go, go." And at this point, you know, the goon taking the smoke break looks up and sees something's going on. And then the truck is basically pulled off the bridge, you know, through the barrier of the bridge. Also, I mean, it's, first of all, it's a great stunt shot.
Yeah,
there's no question about that. With the way that they, you know, with the way that the truck just falls down.
Yeah, I gotta find that. Hopefully there's some footage maybe on the bonus DVD of, like, how they did it, because I would love to watch, like, yeah, how they did this crane truck swing shot. This is so cool.
Right, because as they're doing that, both John and Zeus, we see at least their stuntmen falling down also towards the ship at the same time. And then they give us, like, a close-up of Zeus as he's falling, and it's just really, really bad special effects. You know,
I think it's 56
seconds or so.
I think this is it's not as well done. You're right. I think it is another callback shot to Hans falling.
That's right.
Falling. But you're right. This green screen, like, rotoscope is not as good as they did with Hans. So this might have been done a little quicker, a little bit, like, a little shoddy or like, because I mean, Hans had it good, whereas it's a dark shot and there's only a few spotlights lighting him up. So you could probably hide a lot when they implanted Alan Rickman into that shot composite wise. But this is like broad daylight, flat shot on a moving ship. It's a little bit more complicated. Yeah. And he's not falling down. He's kind of falling in an angle because of the cable. So yeah, you also kind of see like the bottom half of Bruce's feet. So maybe Bruce and Sam, they had him rigged on like some kind of wire and they were swinging them back and forth. And they were just like, you guys just keep screaming and we're going to like figure out how to put this in post.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, in the first movie, they were nominated for an Oscar for special effects for that green screen shot. You know, and this is very far from that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, making this movie, I know, was very messy. There's a lot of – so there might have been a lot of things where they didn't know how to do it. And they said, let's just get this part done. Let's just kind of get this in the can. And they just – I don't know. Whatever it was, it didn't come out as clean as I wish it was. It really looks like – it's like the frame rate of the film kind of gets choppy and very choppy and blurry. It's not filmed right in focus. So yeah, it makes it almost look like it's a stop animation of it.
Yeah.
Like it's only like, I think it really is. I think it's like a stop, almost not say stop motion, but the frame rate of Sam Jackson is not recorded right. Yeah. It like, he doesn't move. Right. He kind of just screams and it's almost like they kind of like freeze his body and just kind of like pull it away from camera and blur it out. Like it doesn't, the focus is off with it.
Yeah. Again, it takes you out of it, which is a shame.
Yeah. I think what's good is that, when you're going to get to the next week's guest, the next week minutes is, it's a kind of like you, by the time you think about that, the cable cuts the goon in half and then you're kind of like, oh, like your brain kind of resets. Like, who cares about that? This guy just got gut. Like that looks so, that's so fast, and it makes you feel grotesque. You could think about like a cable cutting a man in half real fast, especially people who thought about Ghost Ship. Everyone likes to talk about the Ghost Ship intro with like everyone's on a boat, the cables. It's this kind of like triggers that same thought of like, whoa, how gnarly that must be. So at least they have that. Like you don't think about the Sam Jackson face falling thing too long, because then the truck swings and your brain kind of like buries that and go, oh no, what happened to the truck? Oh, a truck gets got in half, boom. So
right.
They at least have that going.
It will just be mere seconds later.
Yes.
It's not that they have to wait the weekend to see it. Like everyone here will have to.
That is one of those things where I think that's why I think these movies are perfect on DVD. And I don't think getting higher quality will help. I think it'll show more of those little flaws that you weren't supposed to see as an audience member. People talk about and like, I saw one of the stuntmen in Heat. You're like, well, I have it on 4K, but I don't even want to think about that because I would hate to be taken out of the film and go like, oh, that's the stuntman for Pacino or De Niro. Like, I don't want to think about that. I want to pretend like these are the actors and these are the characters and this is the scene, yada, yada, yada. Sometimes the higher definition of a movie, like a better sound, sure. If there was better, crisper sound, no, but like, it's almost kind of like, don't make it too good. Don't stabilize the frame and the film grain and the stuff too much. Cause I think, you'll tweak with it too much and it won't look right now. The magic that was kind of hidden in some of the old techniques will be revealed. Like I said, I found that one frame where it was like not color coded correctly. For some reason, there's like two frames that are not, that's like brightly colored filter. And then they quickly slap the blue filter over it. And it, for some reason, the editing bay, there was two frames of it where it's like bright and sunny, and then it goes like dark cloudy.
Correct. Interesting.
Stuff you pick up. Yeah.
All right. I have nothing else for this minute. Do you have anything else?
No. Just like, I mean, your next guest, you're gonna have some fun times talking about all the tense actions on the boat. Like this is one of those things where it's like this could have been the finale of the film. And it's kind of funny how the film keeps going. Like you could have made him run around the boat and like made that the last 15 minutes of the film. I don't think anyone would have been mad. But the film keeps going.
Yeah. It's not like Lord of the Rings where it's not like Return of the King that keeps going, but they still do a nice job here.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. All right, so once again, there's nothing in the script about this minute, because the whole cable scene just doesn't appear in the script. And so we will get to today's segment. So every Friday we have a segment called Name That Movie. So I'm assuming you know what the original title of this movie was, correct?
Was it just Simon Says?
It was Simon Says, correct.
Okay, yeah.
So basically, many movies have had other titles before the final release title. Some of them were fake titles. Some of them that have 10 different titles, stuff like that. But so the idea behind this segment is that I went and found 156 different movies that have alternate titles. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the alternate title and the year of the movie, and you have to try and guess what the real movie's name is. What the release of the movie is. Now, obviously, you can have some lifelines. You can ask for the director. And hopefully, hopefully you're familiar with every one of these movies. We'll have to wait and see. So, okay, there's five of them. All right, so the first one.
Okay.
A movie from 1994. Called The Real World.
Oh, The Real World. Okay. Give me genre.
You want genre? Okay. I didn't think about that one, but that's good. No, it's great.
Yeah. New World.
No, Real World. Real World.
Drama. The Real World. Okay, The Real World. It's a comedy genre. Drama. Comedy drama.
1994.
94. Okay, so Jurassic Park was 93. 94. It's a comedy drama. Okay, give me a lead actor. I feel like this is cheating, but
no, that's okay. Steve Zahn.
Steve Zahn. Christ, what was he doing in 94? Steve Zahn, 94. Oh man. Okay. All right, how about lead actress?
Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder. Steve Zahn, Winona Ryder. Oh my goodness! Why can't I think about this? Is it animated?
No.
Damn, giving up because I'm just like, this is absolute brain fart for me because like, New World. It's not animated because I was thinking like,
The real world.
The freaking real world. Man.
Okay, I'll give you another actress.
Okay.
Janine Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo. God, but it's like Steve Zahn. It's like
he's not the lead. He's okay. He's the fourth listed actor in on IMDb.
Okay. The Real World. Oh man, is it Reality Bites or something?
Yes, it is. Oh, it's Reality Bites. And I was waiting for you to ask for the director. Ben Stiller.
Okay, yeah, all right. I'd never seen that film, but I was like, what was popular? What was like? Okay. Yeah, I was trying to think. Gene Garofalo actually helped the most because I was like,
well, I chose this one specifically for you because it's got Ben Stiller and Janine Garofalo.
So Gene Garofalo, as well. No, well done. Yeah, no, you got me good.
Okay, that's not the point. I all right. From 2008, Q&A.
From 2008, Q&A. Okay, genre?
Crime drama.
Crime drama, 2008. Director?
Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyle, oh my God. 2008. Okay, Danny Boyle, oh my God. All right, I'm trying to think. Like, this is after 28 Days Later. What the frick was he doing? Crying. He was doing stuff like this. Lead actor, or at least give me some actor, I guess.
Dev Patel.
Dev Patel? All right, this sounds like an English film then. I don't think he was known to Americans at this point, so he's probably still doing stuff in England. Danny Boyle, question and Q&A. Q&A. What? God. Any drama, right? Drama?
Crime drama.
Crime drama. It's not Was it? No, that's Guy. Is it, no, Guy Ritchie was doing the Lock, Stock movies and Snatch. Oh, boy. All right. I don't know. Either I need one more clue or I give up, I guess.
Okay. Another actor, Anil Kapoor.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, 2008. It's drama. Is this? No, this isn't. 2008. Did it win awards?
Yes, it won 8 Oscars.
Okay, is this Slumdog Millionaire?
Yes, it is.
Oh, but it was that long ago. Yes. Like I was like, these guys are so familiar to me, but like, what were they doing then? They were starring in this, which then got them popular. That's why.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. That's what happened. Okay.
Okay. All right, here's the next one from 2000, Cheer Fever.
Okay, I want to say it's Bring It On.
And you would be correct.
Yeah, okay, that one I was like, I know that's in that timeline. That's definitely in that timeline.
Okay, good. You're getting there. That's good.
Yeah, once I'm starting to warm up to the times, I'm just like, okay, when was this? When was that? All
right. Right. Okay. All right, the next one, 2010, The Baster.
2010, The Baster.
Yes.
What genre?
Comedy-drama.
Comedy-drama, The Baster in 2010. Gosh, I feel like you don't get – whatever this film is, I'm sure you don't get a lot more of them these days. Director?
Director is Josh Gordon and Will Speck.
God. Oh, man. Okay. All right. These names are not getting me. All right. Give me a lead actress.
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston. Okay, and the movie was called again?
The Baster.
Baster? Yes. The Baster. Was that is Vince Vaughn in this film?
No.
Okay, so it's not that.
It's not The Breakup.
Jennifer Aniston. Is
no.
It's not The Breakup. Is it with Clive Owen?
Nope.
Damn it. Jennifer Aniston movies.
I'll give you the lead actor, Jason Bateman.
Bateman. Is it We Are the Millers?
No. Jason Bateman wasn't in We Are the Millers, was he? I don't think so.
Oh, Bateman. I'm sorry. I confused with Jason Sudeikis. Jason Bateman. Okay. Yeah. I got Bateman. All right. I have him in my head now. Him and Jennifer Aniston. Comedy 2010. It's going to be one of those where it's like I hear the title and I'll remember it, but I think I know it that this – this is a film I remember seeing at stores and passed. That's why I remember this film. I definitely passed on it, so I don't know.
It's called The Switch.
Yeah. What? Who else was in it?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. Right. I didn't know. I didn't see it. I thought it was the one where like they peed in a fountain and they switch bodies or something.
No, this is one where she wants to get impregnated. By a donor, therefore, you know, they call it The Baster, and instead, instead he ends up impregnating her.
Jeez, yeah, did not see this film. I was clearly in college watching like more action films and stuff, so I was probably like missing out on like all the like the comedies. I was like,
it's a fun movie. I mean, Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston are great in this movie.
That's the thing. It's like, I think you look back, you're like, man, these comedies, they don't even make these comedies anymore. They don't even make sex comedies anymore. They just don't. Correct. So it's just like, it's a lost art.
Exactly. All right. And the final one from 1999, How I Created My Perfect Prom Date.
Is it She's All That?
No.
Okay. Hold on. Did it Drive Me Crazy?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Because I was like, what movies I could think of?
You got two of them that I didn't think you'd get right away. The two that you got right away are the ones that, for some reason, I didn't think you would get.
Well, so, the reason is that they were like, I was in high school right at this time, and those were high school set films. So they were like popular in the audiences that I was with. You know, young girls that wanted cheerleading, Bring It On was talked about all the time. Same thing with like Drumline and I'm trying to think. We are the Titans. You know, like it was like high school age kids. We're in high school. These are movies talked about all the time. So Drive Me Crazy. And obviously, Britney Spears is the bill. You know, is like the super artist at this time. She does a movie with Melissa Joan Hart and the guy who will then later be the guy from Entourage. So it was like that was very addressed to my age group. So that's why I was like, that makes sense.
Okay, great. No, I'm glad. You know, I want you to at least come away from this thinking, you know, knowing that you knew. That's good.
Yeah, because Reality Bites, that's really before my time in the sense that, like, before I got into, like, Gen X
right.
comedies. It's clearly Gen X comedy. I'm a millennial, so obviously wasn't marketed to me. And then, like, the 2010s sex comedies, I was, like, in college, so, like, these people were considered, like, they're adults, and I feel like I was watching stuff like that was either stuff from the 90s that like I got on DVD now, or I was watching stuff that was like more suited to like, you know, Euro trip kind of stuff, where it was like sex comedies, but with like young teens in it rather than like adults.
Uh-huh. Okay. Makes sense.
So.
All right. So for one last time this season, would you like to tell everyone where they can find you, Dave?
Yeah, if you want to talk more about the 90s films and Ben Stiller and Gene Garofalo and other character actors like that and all funny people, yeah, 5 Minutes of Mystery, 5minutesofmystery.com, the Champion City Lakeside Diners Club for Facebook group, if you want to talk about your favorite diner foods, or happy to hear it.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Dave, thank you very much for joining me this week. I hope you had an enjoyable movie, movie talking week about your birthday, around your birthday.
Yes, no, loved it. Absolutely. Great. Couldn't, no complaints. It's great. Loved it. Thank you for having me on too.
Excellent. All right. So I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.